All right, welcome back to the podcast. This is part two of our podcast for week six.
Yes, and in addition to my dog joining earlier, my oldest daughter, Caitlin, has now walked in the kitchen and joined us. And
so if you hear giggling in the background, that's who that is.
Right. Or me.
Yes. So it's I don't think the laughing is out of amazement and astonishment. I think it's shame.
All right, so we talked a lot about the first year, 1994, went through our rosters and whatnot. In 1995, we actually introduced head-to-head play for the first time. We also introduced a system for free agent additions, similar to what we have today. It's a minor miracle the league even survived to see 1995, as during that offseason, I broke up with my girlfriend. So she left the league.
Stop. It sounds like you're laughing at Jeff.
Actually, that was a blessing, by the way.
Of course. But
she left the league, her team, along with four teams of her friends and her relatives.
I can't believe fantasy football lost out to friendship.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't remember losing four teams over your
four teams.
We added on. We brought in more.
I also moved from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, all the way to the middle of nowhere of Illinois. And then, but fortunately, we scrambled. We got eight new teams and actually bolstered our ranks from a 12-team league to a 14-team league.
Yes, so that I would say that's a true commitment or to the league by our commissioner. Commitment to what? I'm not exactly sure, but at least to our league.
Well, I didn't have a girlfriend then, and right. So I had I had plenty of time, you know.
Yeah. Hell hath no fury like Jeff scorned.
Yes. So, yeah, and I'd like to point out, moving on to the 1995 season, and we're going to cover a little bit about that, but one thing that happened that year, which led to some of the rule changes earlier on, whether it was points, whether it was tiebreakers, but it's a predecessor to the Bowen rule, I believe, was that in...
Bowen rule.
Bowen?
That's okay. Bowen. See, Bowen, and it's the Bowen statute, or BS for short.
The BS. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yes, that makes more sense. See, I only read Bowen. I did meet him once, but... But yes, in season 2, 1995, I do recall finishing in second place in points, but not making the playoffs.
Oh, it sucks when that happens.
It was heartbreaking for me. So yes, I was an early supporter of the statute, the BS.
Yeah, I think that happened to Bowen like five times in a row, so that's why we have it.
Yeah, well, I feel for him.
So I also suffered a significant loss in 1995 in the Johnson Cup playoffs. It was probably before they were even known as the Johnson Cup.
Put your
playoffs.
Hands down, Roger.
And we'll talk about why they're aptly named at this point, at a later point. But the Bay Foxes, then known as the Ottawa River Foxes, were given their first ever bad beat at the hands of Roger's fellas. The Foxes finished that season 10-4. We won 9 of our last 10 games to make it to the playoffs. The fellas, on the other hand, they were 7-6-1. They squeaked into the final playoff spot. They only scored 35 points in the wild card round, yet they still managed to knock me out of contention when Isaac Bruce, Michael Irvin, and Jay Novacek all put up zeros for me, and the fellas edged me out 59-53.
And that was a Week 17 Super Bowl, I believe.
No, that was a Week 16 semifinal.
Semifinal. Oh, okay.
The fellas went on to win their first championship year, of their career that year. And if you can't tell, I'm still just a little bit bitter about it.
And Jeff, ironically, knowing that you got shut out by two of the guys, it was my hometown Giants that shut out Dallas that week,
that
which allowed Irvin and Novacek to come up with the big goose eggs.
So that made it all the more sweeter for you, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, it was. See, everybody's bitter about the records and the scores. It makes it, in my mind, very real, just like the NFL. Remember a couple of years ago?
Any given Sunday.
Well, even the last couple of years, you have these teams, and if you remember Seattle, everybody was complaining about should a team be able to make the playoffs with a losing record. Mm. Lo and behold, Seattle beat the almighty New Orleans Saints in an upset to move on and around the playoffs.
The famous beast mode run, right?
Exactly.
There you go.
So the fellas went on to win that 95 championship. They won two others in 1996 and 2000, and thus the name of our trophy was born, the Johnson
well,
Cup.
Well, actually...
And the tagline, Kiss the Big Johnson.
Kiss the Big Johnson, yes.
Actually, I think the other reason is also, even though the year that I lost it, I believe my brother won it.
Yes.
So the first 3 years were actually won by...
Actually, yes.
The first
so
three
Pete,
years.
Pete won the first
yes,
year.
Yes, my brother...
Yes.
Peter and Johnson,
1999, I believe the winner was Michael Johnson, the Rednecks. Let's check it. Yeah, Canton Rednecks, Michael Johnson.
Go. No relation, but he did go to high school with my brother. Way back when.
No relation, according to your mom.
Yes, we're not from West Virginia, so we're good.
So, by the way, the Johnson Cup trophy does actually exist. It's with us tonight. Ted brought it along.
Yes, I
purchased it following my first championship in 2002. The trophy changed hands after each new champion was crowned thereafter. But unfortunately, when we had the nameplates made up, there was only space for like 10 or 12 names to go on there. It was poor planning on my part, you know. So when we ran out of nameplates, when Ted won his first championship with the House of Pain in 2004, Ted just went ahead and
I was
bought
offered
the
opportunity to purchase the trophy, and I did.
Yeah, so we opted not to do a Stanley Cup thing and keep adding a ring. So, yeah.
So Ted got the trophy, and now he's holding on to it like forever.
Right.
I did bring it. It's out to show. I display it prominently at my home. It's one of the few things I've ever
won. It's the last thing that Ted's won.
It's the most athletic trophy in my house.
For fantasy football.
For me.
So let's go back to 1996 for a minute. So I think, is that the year you got married, Roger, in 96?
Yes, I don't even.
We had to think about that for like 10 minutes. We actually paused and came back.
I was gonna check the ring, but I didn't have to. I know it's 96.
Nice. That was just like off the top of my head guess. But I'll never forget going to Roger's wedding. Ted and I were there. I think we were both in the wedding party.
Yes.
And I remember. I think it was at the Adams Mark Hotel, right? The reception
down in Philly.
And it just so happened to be at that time the Star Trek convention was in town, right?
Science fiction convention. Yes, it was.
But I remember being in the, like, for some reason we had to ride the elevator up and down to the room.
Well, I think you guys, we had the wedding party was in a suite after
the
wedding.
We had we had a separate suite for the wedding party.
Yes.
And the hotel management was actually nice enough to allow us to either bump to the front of the line or use the freight elevator, which really ticked off some of the whack jobs in the science fiction convention.
But I just remember being in the elevator with all these Star Trek characters, you know, people dressed as Star Trek characters, and saying, "Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up." I mean, I had a lot to drink that night.
Yes, but I mean, there were some stories that came out of that that were just unbelievable. There was at one point we were down talking to the people at the front desk. And out of the blue, a guy handed Nancy a $20 bill and said, "Congratulations on your wedding."
Congratulations.
Now, as a sad note, the Adams Mark has since been torn down.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yes, they tore it down a number of years ago and put in a Target.
Gee whiz.
I tried to make the argument that that made our wedding annulled. Nancy's not buying it.
Well, the spot where Cindy and I got engaged burned down the year afterwards.
Really?
So that was
a year afterward.
Like a year, within the year afterwards. Yeah. It was known as Fourth and Goal. What are you guys pointing at?
She's trying to get his daughter to get her beer out of the refrigerator.
Not her.
Oh. Sorry.
I was just about to say she reminds me of Nancy and
she didn't get it.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so let's get back. So
well,
some
nice
other.
Of you to bring all three of this one, though. Thank you.
There's only two in there. We have to get them from outside.
All right, we're talking fantasy football, guys.
Yes,
all right,
sure,
back. Come on, focus.
Sorry.
Focus.
Former roommates.
It was another interesting note here. Is in the early years, we actually had to select a starting lineup each week, like normal fantasy football. Right.
Hated it.
We called it the active list.
Mm-hmm.
And the active list had its own salary cap. Do you guys remember that?
I do remember that.
Your starting eight had to be within a salary cap.
Yep.
And then your entire roster
had to be in another one.
Had to be in another salary cap, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that would work with 34 teams.
Well, and the idea to go behind to drop the starter or the active versus, I love it. I mean, you don't have to sit and watch a game, root against a player on your team, or scour the waiver wire like many people do to figure out who to set. It's a lot of nonsense for people that are too busy to really make this a profession.
Yes.
The other interesting thing was we were not allowed to make free agent moves after week 12. So you couldn't make free agent moves during the playoffs. And that led to the hardship rule. Mm-hmm. Ted, you remember the hardship rule?
Right? I do. I was a big fan of the hardship rule, and
I think you came up with the hardship rule, I believe.
And I don't think it was for me either. I think it seemed since we froze rosters in whatever it was, week 12, there'd be a quarterback. Two quarterbacks would get hurt on the same roster, and there's not much you can do to predict it. There's not much you can do to plan ahead for that. So if you have a position on your roster that somebody goes on the IR or is, I think we said, either doubtful or out, you know, there's not much you can do about it. So we came up with a rule to basically be able to insert a player for that week for a fee with some guidelines so that it wasn't necessarily getting a ringer, but it was putting somebody in place to get some points. And yeah. I think it was a fair thing.
Wasn't there a rule? What was the... Didn't it have to be within 10% of the salary or something?
There was salary implications.
You couldn't just pick up anybody.
It had to be within the salary cap of the active list that we talked about earlier.
Right. Okay.
But it did not have to be. You did not have to fall within the salary cap, your overall salary cap.
Right. And okay. Had to be less than or equal to the average of the salary of the injured players.
Yeah.
So if you had two starters... Right. You couldn't put in a $5 million quarterback if your starting quarterbacks were $3 million and $2 million.
So we came up with this complicated rule.
Yes. And then we
enforced it a couple times, and then we said, why are we doing this? Let's just allow free agents all throughout the playoffs.
Right. So can you, I mean, for those who are in the league now, can you imagine if your roster was frozen week 12 and the angst you'd have going into the playoffs?
Yeah, especially going into week 16 and 17.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, we were at that point, didn't we also put that in because we were paranoid of foul play?
Well,
that was why we froze rosters,
right,
so people wouldn't drop somebody, and it was almost like a behind-the-scenes trade type thing.
Now we're okay with foul play, I guess.
Right. Well,
I don't think it never really happened then. We were thinking ahead about a lot of things.
We were three engineers overthinking it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, which is interesting, because, and I don't know that you're going to cover this at all, Jeff, or if we have time, but when the Sporting News decided to give up the salary cap league, Our illustrious commissioner used his own formulations to continue on.
So in the early days, the salaries were determined by the Sporting News annual fantasy football preview special because they had their own league.
Yes.
Right.
It was a mail-it-in. You had to mail it in, snail mail it.
Yeah, you cut it out of the magazine.
Cut it out of the magazine, you fill out the form, you mail it in. And those were the salaries we used early on. And then I think it was in the early 2000s, I don't remember the exact year, but I got my Sporting News fantasy football preview. I opened it up, and there was no they stopped
they got
doing
rid of it.
And I remember calling Ted. I was like, "What the heck are we going to do?"
Yeah.
And Ted was like, "Well, let's just come up with a formula for last 3 years' performance and make a spreadsheet." And
you were very excited about that.
Well, yeah, I do enjoy spreadsheets. I can't deny that. I have a spreadsheet to keep track of all my spreadsheets.
There you go.
Oh,
yes, man. That's beautiful.
Another interesting thing is before the advent of
reserves,
yeah, five reserves, we actually had contracts.
Yeah.
So at the end of the season, the first year we did this, you could sign one player to a 3-year contract, one player to a 2-year contract, and 2-1 contracts.
And they kept the same salary for that contract.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, I like that rule.
And then
I
remember afterwards.
Why did we not do that rule anymore?
someone didn't like it. And it might have been, I'm trying to think if it was after.
Those were the Fred Taylor years.
Yeah.
Everybody had Fred
Taylor. You lock in on that. You lock in the up and comer.
And I can't remember, but somebody didn't like that. It got complicated because I could no longer, when we went to the automated website.
Oh, the automated website, system couldn't carry multiple salaries.
Couldn't handle multiple salaries.
Yeah, and then
I couldn't handle multiple salaries anymore.
Right.
And after that, it was kind of like, this is too complicated. Just reserve 5 players or 4 players or something.
Yeah, and so we started 4 players, and then later on we went 5 players.
Well, originally it was 4, and then we said if you reserve at least 2 players that are only on your roster, you could reserve a 5th.
Yes.
It was like a bonus to keep less people.
I do remember that.
Keeping the number of players on teams. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Less people having the same player.
Yeah.
Now finally
We've tried a lot of things to try to prevent that.
It seems to be happening on its own. I mean, there's a few games where you're playing 2, 3, maybe even 4 players that are the same, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Well, I think once we went to the free agent list, that really...
Year two,
that helped. Yeah, that was year two.
Where you couldn't pick
up somebody that was already picked up.
Right.
But the interesting thing.
I guess the reserves is what
the reserves.
Really, the reserves is what really.
The initial. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
What's interesting though now is in the past couple years we have FanDuel and these other websites that are essentially what we did in 1994.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
true.
You
almost
pick
daily,
whoever a new
whoever
team
want.
Every week based
right.
on salary cap.
Yeah.
That's what FanDuel
so we could
is.
Be millionaires by now. Is what
we
you're
could
saying.
We could have been millionaires.
And I will say with the modern advent of internet and all these other leagues and the NFL supporting it and their advertising, I mean,
right.
it's actually getting to the point where fantasy football is so watered down and diluted. Like, you don't need to scour places for information. It's there. We used to have, I remember, like, picking up the USA Today and reading the little capsules
at the end
in
of each week to try and get the box score.
State even and stuff like that. Or picking up different, like, Athlon Sports and different magazines to read what the writers are writing about the team's thing. Now, it's instantly available.
Right. The Monday USA Today.
Yeah.
Was the greatest paper of the week because you had to get the box score for the week.
That was the official scoring was USA Today. So I had to buy it every week.
Yeah.
But now Sunday mornings, there's more shows about fantasy football in the morning than there is pregame.
Absolutely.
And pregame lasts 3.5 hours, it seems like, anymore. It's almost...
I mean, I love it, but it's the fact that everybody else does now, I'm getting a little bit salty about it.
All right. So we're going to move on.
Yes.
Just one more thing I want to talk about, guys. You know, in the early days, the three of us used to get together quite a lot with kids and other things going on. We haven't quite as often, but and I talked to Ted about this, and he said he doesn't have much memory of this.
I'm not recalling.
You don't remember this?
You don't remember? You don't remember meeting Marvin Harrison? I can't believe it.
How do you not know?
You know, remember we were doubting who it was. Hickson went with us too.
I think Hickson was there, and maybe Butch.
Butch might have been there. It was a Widener night.
It was Widener
night. We met at McFadden's. We went to McFadden's
first. I remember that.
Right. All of us went to McFadden's.
Yeah.
Well, but at that point, I guess you had a few beers then.
I'm trying to think if Dan Adelot might have been there.
I haven't seen Adelot since college. I don't think.
But anyway.
I would like to, though.
Marvin Harrison is there. And so I think Roger was the one who brought up, hey, that's Marvin Harrison.
I probably was in the restroom.
And I was adamantly against saying it was Marvin Harrison because the guy was like 2 inches shorter than I was. There's no way he's a football player.
I mean, he couldn't have weighed 185 pounds.
But we go up and we're talking. We're actually kind of in the bar area. It was a luxury box we were in. And we're in the bar area talking about this. And I'm saying it's not Marvin Harrison. It's not Marvin Harrison. And meanwhile, this guy comes up and says, yes, it is Marvin Harrison. Right. I brought him here as my guest. We own a restaurant together.
Well, right. And he's from Philadelphia. That was the point. He had retired the year before. And he came back to Philadelphia.
So, Roger took the opportunity to touch his child's head, of course.
Good God.
And then decided he could no longer wash his hand because he touched his head.
I don't think Roger washed his hand before the
trip. Right, that had nothing to do with it. The kid's in there washing his head.
Between that and the boxers, I think the wash is safe.
Ah, it happens.
All right, so it's time for us now to turn on this Eagles game, Eagles-Giants game.
The Giants game, actually.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if Josh Brown can hit 33 field goals or whether the fellas will suffer a loss this week. It's been great, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having us. Queued up for the outro. Thank you for having us here. Roger, Jeff, this has been awesome.
You've listened to this podcast in its entirety. I thought there was words to the song.
Right here.
Okay.
Right here? It's everybody now.
All right, we're going to cut it.
Bye-bye.
See you later, guys.